Praise God. Did y'all receive that from the offering teaching? Praise God. Well, we're going to talk about walking in the path of honor. It's kind of part two of last week. And in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 30, the Bible tells us God's honor principle. It says, therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priest, but I will honor those who honor me. Now, if you're feeling dishonored in life or not necessarily honored in the Lord, you got to check out things in your life. Just have them sit down if you can. That way we have no distractions. Thank you. He said, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. Now, this is a huge principle that we need to be taught, but we also need to insist in our own family context that we teach. The proper priority structure in a house should be God first and everything else second, third, or fourth. Should be a proper priority structure. If that house is to honor the Lord, then God and His Word must be number one, first place, and final authority. Amen. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. That's a huge, hugely important scripture. He said, then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. So this is returning your tithes and your generous giving, your offerings, which are acts and rituals of honor. So your tithing and your financial generosity is proof of honor. All we have to look at is your bank statement or your transactional record, and you can kind of tell what you value, what you honor, what's important to you. If God's important to you, then your tithes and your generous offerings will be proven by your bank statement. Nobody's giving me any amen. Everybody's getting quiet on me. Now, honor in relationships, we broke it down and we'll kind of review a little bit here today. It's basically giving what's due. Now, some people think relationships are static and not dynamic. And relationships are dynamic. They're not static. That means in that relationship, either above you, those over you, you know, your pastor, your boss, your employers, your parents, those are people above you. And then, of course, your people around you, and then people entrusted in your care, people down beneath that you have to carry along or carry up. You owe something to them that's due because of that context of that relationship. That's what honor is. Honor is about how I treat you, not how they treat you. So sometimes it works this way. When people have a title or a position of responsibility, they think that the person beneath me, particularly an employee or a child or a minor, owes them everything up. You got to respect me because I am whatever, your father, your mother, your aunt, your uncle, your sister, brother, you know, older sister, brother, you know, stuff like that. But honor has nothing to do about how they treat you, but it's about how you treat them. Some people even cry out, well, they don't respect me. my children or my grandchildren or whatever the case may be. Well, you have to understand how you're walking in honor. Amen? Because the honor principle is always at work, whether you think it's at work or not. He said, those that honor me, I'll honor them. But those that despise me and think lightly of me, I will lightly esteem. Amen. Honor is more about my character than your character. It's more about my conduct than your conduct. It's more about my commitment to love, to honor, to esteem, than your commitment to love, honor, and esteem. So honor is about how I see you and how I treat you. Because we don't get it twisted. Everybody doesn't see everybody the same. You know, some people see people through the lens of favoritism or prejudice. They see color. They see class. They see category. And they don't see people through the lens of honor, but their lens may be tainted with dishonor. Amen. So even in a context of gathering, some people, I don't express or verbalize, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to be here with you. That's kind of a small honor expression. Some people say, well, you better be glad I'm here. See, they think everything's pointed toward them. But honor is how I see you and how I treat you. It's always interesting to me when you send out a text message or a group text, who responds and how they respond. Because we said it before, we're in a very dishonoring culture, and some people says, well, I don't want to be bothered with a bunch of group people on a group text. You know, I used to think that way, but the Lord said, stop it. Don't back out of that group text. I want you to observe. Because the honor is not how they're treating you. It's 10 o'clock at night. Why are they sending me all this stuff? Why did Pastor send out a note at 8 o'clock at night? It's not out about how I treat you. It's about how you treat, how you see, and how you treat. Oh, so everybody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say it with me. Honor, it's about how I see you. If I see you beneath me, no, you don't have to say that part. But if I see you beneath me, then I probably don't honor you enough. I'm not giving honor to when honor's due. If I treat you less than what you are due of honor, and we talked about last week, is honor the king, honor who? Your parents, mother and father, we read all that. Honor what? Your spouse, honor your employer. What are you supposed to do with spiritual leaders? Double honor. Maybe you got to double up. Amen. And how I treat you. Well, the pastor ain't done nothing for me lately, so I don't. Had nothing to do with honor. I ain't got my breakthrough yet, so I don't give anybody honor. Well, praise the Lord. See, as a child of God, as a born-again believer and Christ follower, we cannot pick and choose who or what to honor. We're commanded to walk in love, sure enough, but we're also commanded to walk in honor. Absolutely. how you treat God, how you treat the Word of God, how you treat the Lord Jesus Christ, how you treat your leaders, your bosses, your pastors, and those around you is a reflection of your honor walk. Now, some people have what we call a meanness problem, meaning they have problem with their three favorite people, me, myself, and I, because they think they're the center of the universe, and they live a self-centered, self-absorbed life. So everything's about me. But we even gave you tools last week and before of how to practice honor on a low scale. Anytime you go into a meeting, a class, or a room, you always ask what two questions? What can I learn? And who can I help? What does that help you do? Get out of yourself. Because if you think you've grown and you know enough to be dangerous, then you need to get out of your head. Because whether you're 80, 85, or 5, we all can learn. We all can learn something. And when you stop learning, you stop living a life of honor. And when you stop helping other people, you start living a life of dishonor. None of us should walk through a whole week without helping somebody else with their blessing, with their victory, with their triumph, and with their prayer responsibilities. Y'all going home already? We suggested these seven areas, I'll read them again, that we should honor. Honor the Word, number one. Honor the Holy Spirit. Oh, those are two big ones. You can't ignore and muzzle or mute the Holy Spirit all week. He's not living in you as a silent absentee tenant. He's there forever. We ought to have conversations and connections with the Holy Spirit repeatedly throughout the day. Honor the Holy Spirit. But if you dishonor the Holy Spirit, if you vex him, grieve him, sadden him because of your walk or your words, then he'll be silent. And it's just like you carrying along extra baggage. That's very disrespectful to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit always wants to do what? Help you. He is your helper. He is your comforter. He is your counselor. He is your standby. What is he saying to you? How is he leading you? You got to honor the Holy Spirit. You got to honor your father and mother. That includes your in-laws. You got to honor your spouse. You got to honor the ministry gifts, your spiritual leaders, your pastors, your prophets, and stuff like that. You got to honor civil authorities. And then you got to honor your employers. These seven areas demonstrate honor to God. Remember that principle, 1 Samuel 2:30. Those that honor me, I'm going to honor them. How do we do that, Pastor? Those seven areas we just said. If you honor them and those things, you honor it's a reflection of your honor walk. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3:20-35. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame. And we define honor a little further, and let's repeat it again. Honor, the word Hebrew word, kabed, is literally, it gives us a picture of heaviness or weightiness. To honor is to give great weight, importance, worth, and significance to something or someone. So on the contrary, the word dishonor gives us the picture of something light or trivial, one of mist or steam, vapor, steam. So when you honor people, you're always conveying and communicating that they hold a certain weight and a high value in your heart. You're communicating to them that you're valuable to me. You know, back in the day when the culture was a little bit more honorable and God honoring, you know, I would observe, just by observation, people go up and tell the pastors, because everybody knows the pastors are the head and they get attacked and things happen, but they go and say, I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you. You know, pastors can't run a church by themselves. Amen. You need spiritual help and you need physical help. I got three amens. That's right. That should have been 100%, but I know people are thinking, right? See, when you dishonor someone, you treat them, the relationship, lightly. You suggest that they're neither valuable nor are they significant to you. Now, we said, you know, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So how valuable are your pastors to you? How significant are they in your life? You know, the Word of God is rare in some places. There's a famine of the Word of God. People can't hear it. People don't get it. See, sometimes people dishonor people, and it can be done in different ways, but mainly they do it through their body language or their attitude. I don't receive you, I reject you, and I don't respect you. That's conveyed through their body language or their attitude, because some people just fall asleep or just get distracted. Amen. That's why we even teach kids, hey, don't play in church while church is going on. Right? We tell them, hey, the pastor's important to listen to, not just the children's church teachers. As a matter of fact, if there's double honor for the pastors, then they should be taught to bring the Bible when they come to church, to take out their notepad, to listen, to pay attention. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, dishonor stems from someone's heart and eventually reveals itself in one's attitude and actions. Remember, God looks at your heart. Do you honor those above you from your heart? Or just with your words? Hallelujah. Do you value their presence and their wisdom? Now, you don't get this automatically. You don't feel this automatically. Even with my boss, the Lord had to tell me, you have to honor him. That's non-negotiable. You may cuss, fuss, crazy. Sometimes he come in with that snuff in his lip. I don't like it. I don't like how it smells. It's nasty when you. But he said, honor him. Honor him. You're here to help him be successful. Some people on the job, they just here to help themselves. They want everything for themselves. Give me the money, give me the promotion, give me the pay raise. Let me do as less as I can. And then they talk about them and backstab them the whole time. That's not honoring your employer. Galatians 6:6. We're going to hone it in to spiritual leaders now. I don't want you to pay attention to this. This is important. Wherever you go, wherever you end up in life, while Jesus tarries is coming, I want you to learn honor. Look at Galatians 6:6. It says in the Amplified Classic, let him who receives the word, receives instruction in the word of God, share all good things with his what? His teacher, doing what? Contribute. Everybody say contributing to his support. Now here is, it tells you where your money becomes a ministry to the minister. That was a great place to say amen. You know, they even got shows on TV. It's a travesty where people run and run their mouth and go crazy because the preacher's flying a jet or the preacher's riding a nice car. We ought to be rejoicing. Amen. The preachers ought to have the best jet because God says they should get double honor, right? Amen. We're going to see that in a second. He said if they teach in the word of God, the highest truth, the highest thing that meets human needs in the universe, the word of God. If they teach in the word of God, he said, share how much, how many things? All good things with his teacher. So are you sharing? Are you caring for the preacher? The pastor. I'm just quoting the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible, right? Contributing to his support. Remember, honor is how I see you and how I treat you. There's a blessing in honoring what God honors. And God wants us to honor the pastoral office and spiritual leaders or ministry gifts. Churches, listen to this principle, and church members reap what they sow. We are to honor God by esteeming and honoring and obeying his word. Pastors are laborers in the word of God and doctrine. Honoring the pastor is a big key to biblical prosperity. Now, I was in California. We were in California before Texas. Now, that's over 20 years ago, 2002, 2001, 2000, 2000, we were in California. And the Lord was teaching me how to serve the pastor. We didn't know we were coming here, San Antonio. And the first order of instructions when we showed up at that church back in 2000, 2001, was something that Pastor Keith Moore had taught us in Bible college. Because you learn submission and authority at Rhema. That's one of the courses. They teach you how to commit and submit to authority. Because you got to learn how to honor up on the chain of authority. Because that's how things work right in your life. That's why the first commandment of the promise came with honoring your parents. He said that things will be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. Some people mistreat their parents and dishonor their parents to the point to where it causes consequences, in negative consequences in their life. So here I am, here we are, out in California, and we both said, this is it, this is the church. I mean, she was crying and even shouting that Sunday, first Sunday in there. I'm like, look at this, look at my sister, girl, my wife. She out there shouting and crying. Well, we knew we were in the church we were supposed to be in. Well, the first thing he said, you're here to help. You're here to learn. You're not here to judge. Now, I didn't originate that statement that came through the class at Rhema. But he said, you're here to help. You're here to learn. You're not here to judge. And that keeps you steady while the church is growing, the people coming and going. A lot of stuff was going on in that church at the time. But we were having a good time. And every time the pastor says, I need some help, I'm here to help. I'm here to learn. So he put us over this. Visitor follow-up. Put us over the altar care ministry. We ended up teaching a new member class. We ended up doing some other things. I've been a pastor. I was there. I was having a great time. And God was honoring me because I was honoring him by honoring my spiritual leader. So get used more. Same thing happened when we came here. You're there to help. We were on Bandera Road, Bandera and Gilbo, around that area. And we stopped the car because we were going. He said, we don't want to go to that church. It's too small before we start this church. And then we both stopped in the middle. You don't stop in the middle of Bandera. It was 20 years ago, okay, guys. Over 20 years ago. So we stopped on the middle. And we knew in our heart, we're there to go there to help, to learn, and not to judge. So First Lady got asked for a key because she, by herself, started going in on Thursday, I believe it was. I can't remember the day. Thursday every week to clean the church by herself. Why? Because we were there to help. We were there to learn. We're not sitting to be served. We're there to serve and help and learn. He had some problems with his board. He said, I've given you gifts in administration. Help them with their board. Get things situated, straightened out. We did. Help them with the youth ministry. We did. Help them with the children's ministry. She did. You remember that? She probably don't want to think back to those times. Somebody say, glory to God. See, honor is an act. That's why he said, give honor to whom honors due. We got to see in what the pastor's like. The pastor needed some warm beverage, but he didn't want coffee. So we cooked him. I made his hot chocolate before he got there. Had his hot chocolate ready. He played the piano, set it right next to him. Had a couple of mints there, made sure the sound was set up for him. He didn't have to cut on the air conditioning. The honor. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. I don't know how I brought all that up, but that's good stuff. Y'all here with me? You reap either as a church or a church member what you sow. We are to honor and esteem God by honoring, esteeming, and obeying the word, his word. See, honor is a big, big deal when it comes to, and he commands us to honor. And the Lord tells us we can do it one of three ways. You only got one, three. You can give honor, withhold honor, or dishonor. One of three choices. Even in a marriage, when it comes to husband and wife, wife relating to the husband, vice versa, husband relating to the wife, you can give honor, withhold honor, or dishonor. Amen. So let's look at 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 18. Listen to this. Amplified Classic. Let the elders who perform the duties of their office be considered doubly, everybody say double, doubly, worthy of honor. Now, the New King James says worthy of double honor. So he said honor is one level, but double honor is the next level. So again, going back to my, let me go ahead and finish this. And of adequate financial, you guys got the scripture up? 1 Timothy 5, 17. Okay. Of adequate financial experience, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox when it's treading out the grain. And again, the laborer is worthy of his what? Of his hire. So pastors, teachers, are spiritual laborers. They labor in the word and administering the word. Amen. Preaching and teaching. So I was out with my pastor in California. And he took me to the mall with him. And out there they have, what's that mall outside? You can't remember it right? Okay. Yeah, it's a real famous mall. Kind of like Lock and Terror here. And so we're walking outside and we went to Dillard's. He liked Dillard's. And so he always honored his pastor. And his pastor is Mark Hankins. And guess who our pastor is? Mark Hankins. But anyway, that's how we got connected. So anyway, he's out there in Dillard's. And he's buying ties. He likes ties. I like ties. Praise the Lord. So anyway, he's buying a nice tie. Oh, that's great, Pastor. I'm just hanging out with him. And then he gets another one, the same kind. I said, Pastor, why are you getting two ties? He said, one's for me, but one's for my pastor. And he was teaching me a lesson on honor. He said, I never want to outdress my pastor. And I never want to take a blessing from my pastor without blessing him first. Now I thought about that. I said, what? This is. But I now heard Mark Hankins say this. He was in a watch store buying a Rolex watch. Now, I like watches too. But anyway, he's buying a Rolex. And the Holy Spirit said to him, Do you want to buy yourself a Rolex before your daddy gets one? His daddy was one of his spiritual pastors. And he said, what? He said, you're right, Lord. He said, I need to get him one first before I get me one. So he bought him it was about a $10,000 Rolex. And he said, take him a year to pay it off. But he bought it for him. He honored his spiritual leader before he took honor for himself. Now that was the opportunity to give him honor. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, listen to this phrase, and I'm going to tell it to you this way so you can understand it. See, you can take a blessing and miss a blessing. Or you can be a blessing and receive a bigger blessing. Why did God say, don't muzzle the ox? Why did Jesus repeat it in his words in the gospel? Why did the Old Testament say it this way? And why did Paul say it in this scripture we just read? Y'all put the scripture back up, please. 1 Timothy 5:17, 18. He said, don't muzzle the ox when you tread out in grain. And again, the laborer is worthy of his hire. You muzzle the ox by robbing God's ministers. See, people that get theirs and don't care about the minister and theirs tend to dishonor or withhold honor. See, robbing simply means withholding or refusing to give honor that is due. That's how you rob God or you rob your pastor. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy this morning. No, people aren't sticking a gun in their pastor's face or not putting a gun in God's house. What happens? When you don't honor God with your tithes and offerings, you rob God. He said in Malachi, you rob your minister by muzzling him. Withholding or refusing to honor, give honor that's due, or being dishonoring or disrespectful. Now let's go back to the scripture we talked about last week, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 13. This one's in the New King James. And it says, we urge you, brethren. Now listen to this. The first phrase of action is this one. To recognize those who labor among you. Recognize them. Don't ignore them. Don't look by them. Don't care nothing for them. To recognize those who labor among you and are over you where? In the Lord. And admonish you. Look at the next verse. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, let me define esteem to you. You ready? Esteem means to set a value on, to prize, to set a high value on, to regard with reverence, respect, or friendship. High value or estimation, great regard, favorable opinion. Everybody say, that's good, Pastor. See, our honor walk includes three things. Four things. Receiving those who God placed in your life. Now, you can see this in a family context. Some people don't like their dad or their stepdad or their stepmom or their mom because of how they treat them. But honor is not about how they, what? Treat you. It's how you treat them. What should parents tell their kids when they go to school? Because, see, I had to go to school with Donnie a lot of times, eating breakfast. But I see how some of the kids treat the teachers. I'm observant. And some of them haven't been taught to treat elders or the teachers with respect. The teachers may have to yell at them even to get them to stop being silly or stop bullying or fighting. It's crazy sometimes. And I'm walking through school with him. We're going to eat breakfast in the morning. And it's like, even schools, there's a lot of dishonoring situations here at school. Why? Because parents don't teach honor, insist on teaching honor at home, and perhaps even they don't honor their own parents in their own life. It's a very dishonoring culture we live in. That's why we have to break it down and come time get in your face a little bit about it. Amen. You got to learn to receive your parents and because they placed you in your life. You didn't make yourself. They made you. If for nothing else, for them bringing you into the world, you ought to honor them. Amen. And then, of course, recognizing the gift of grace of God of others. You got to recognize them. I'm good to see you. I'm glad you're here. Encourage the gift of God in them. Send out encouraging texts. That's rare. Send out an email response to say, hey, I appreciate you sending that to me. You're a blessing in my life. Number three, respecting and regarding those over you, around you, and entrusted into your care. You got to respect and regard them. See, when you're, what we used that term a long time ago, a few weeks ago, when you're narcissistic or you're self-absorbed, you only think about who? Yourself. You're not thinking about other people and how they feel and how they need to be treated by you. What happens is people withhold honor or they dishonor. And then you got to rejoice. You're rejoicing, you're rewarding, and you're remunerating those to whom honor is due. Lord, who do I need to honor today? I'm going to church. Who do you want me to help? Lord, make me a blessing. A blessing could be just your word in due season. I really appreciate you and what you do for the church. It encourages me. It blesses me. Woo-wee! Now listen to this as I'm getting ready to close, because I was going to use examples, but we'll pick up there next time. Be part three. Y'all getting something out of this? Always be intentional and insistent to celebrate the victories, blessings, and successes and triumphs of other ministers or pastors in your circle. Now, we have our RMI regional retreat tomorrow. We'll be busy for the next 3 days dealing with our fellow ministers and pastors throughout the state of Texas. But we like to be honorable to them. One, show up. But be present in the meeting, too. Don't just sit there like a lump on a log. But we be present in the meeting and go around and connect with people. How you been? What's God been doing in your life? Be interested so the relationship can stay interesting. Be intentional. Congratulate them. Encourage them. Esteem them. Honor them. Sow into what they're doing. It's the best way to overcome, listen to this, insecurities and kill pride. Envy and a disrespectful and a dishonoring attitude and spirit. How are you going to overcome your own insecurities and kill the pride and the envy in your own life? When they get blessed, I rejoice. See, we're all in this together, brothers and sisters. And many parts, but one body in Christ. We are to flow, function, and flourish in unity, community, synergy, and harmony with each other. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, your indifference or your irreverence towards the accomplishments, the accolades, the achievements, or awards of others isn't going to slow them down or cause them to stumble. Remember, honor is how I treat who? You. Honor is how I see who? You. See, your indifference or your irreverence toward their accomplishments, their accolades, their achievements, their awards isn't going to slow them down or cause them to stumble. It will cause you to slow down. And it will cause you to stumble. I can't believe that. I can't believe you got blessed like that. That's going to slow you down and stop your blessing because you didn't honor where honor is due. It said rejoice with them that rejoice. When one member is honored, we all what? Rejoice. Some people can't rejoice when other people are blessed, when other people have a good time. I see it in text messages. We send a text message, you know. Sometimes Pastor Cynthia, I be in a picture in the text. Some people rejoice, some people like, don't say nothing. Look at Romans 12:15. Let's look at it. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Sharing others' joy. When the last time you shared somebody else's joy? Or you just want to share your misery? Because some people just downright negative. They can't be happy for other people. They don't want to bring up your victories, your blessings and triumphs and say, man, that's great. I am just so honored and thankful for you, what God has done in your life. And they may be just showing you a pocket knife. I got a new pocket knife. Somebody gave me a pocket knife. And then 1 Corinthians 12:26. No, no, and weep with those that rejoice, sharing others' grief. So some people too prideful to get rejoice with others. Or to get low with others. 1 Corinthians 12:26. And if one member suffers, all the parts share in the suffering. And if one member is honored, all the members share in the enjoyment of it. You get a new car, we're going to be running out looking at that car and just rejoicing on that car. We know ours is going to be next. But we all rejoice when we all get a blessing. We all rejoice when somebody gets a promotion. Don't twist your nose up and get all twisted. 1 Corinthians 12:26. One member suffers, all the members share in suffering. This is how you alleviate that strife and that insecurity and that pride. You kill that pride that way. As I'm closing, you know, it was an ugly thing to see it in different churches. When somebody's always, we called it on the East Coast, had the crab mentality. Anybody ever seen crabs in a bucket? So we lived near Chesapeake Bay, and you got those fresh crabs out of Chesapeake Bay up in the East Coast area. And there was always crabs in the bucket. You see them in the bucket. Crab, you're trying to get out. And then the other crabs will be pulling it down. And it's that way, it sometimes, unfortunately, in churches or in jobs, somebody's climbing up, going up, and other people what? You got enough people to what? Pull you back down. Somebody's getting blessed in the service. Somebody's getting a breakthrough in the service. You got enough people with wet blankets trying to put the fire out. Come on, stand to your feet, lift your hands and thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.